From ransomware attacks to supply chain compromises, the CyberTalks podcast will dive into the world of the latest cyber threats and attacks impacting businesses globally. Join us as we speak with industry leaders and practitioners about the cyber risks impacting their business and how they're addressing these challenges. CyberTalks is presented by eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response. To learn how eSentire can help your team reduce your cyber risks and build a more resilient security operation, visit eSentire.com. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Pittman, Director, Creative Services at eSentire. And joining me today is Greg Crowley, eSentire's Chief Information Security Officer. We'll dive into Greg's background and experience. We'll learn more about his 90-day plan that can help guide newly appointed security leaders. And we'll hear further insights surrounding leadership and the cybersecurity industry as a whole. So let's get started. So thank you for joining us, Greg. We're very excited to have you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I think to kick things off, we should start from the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in cybersecurity?
Sure. For me personally, I think I was kind of always meant to be in cybersecurity. So in many aspects of my life, I kind of took on the role of a defender or a protector. I grew up in New York where you learn to be naturally suspicious. You have to stand up for yourself and your others. I always took my personality, my nature always led me to look out for and protect my friends and family. At one point, I even opened up a martial arts studio to help others learn how to defend themselves. And so I think it's me as a person. I was kind of geared toward that way of the defender and protector. As far as my career, I think myself, like many other tenured cybersecurity professionals, I got my start in cybersecurity through IT. I held escalating in various technical and then management positions. And then fast forward 25 years to today, where I'm Chief Information Security Officer for eSentire.
Now, before joining eSentire, you were at WWE, where you finished a 17-year-long tenure as a VP of Cybersecurity and Network Infrastructure. What was that like?
Yeah, World Wrestling Entertainment. So that was a crazy ride. It was very fast-paced, as you might expect for that type of company. It's got shows that constantly go on the air live, right? So it's got that show must go on mentality. And, if you think about it, where it's different than your typical corporate organizations is there are fully loaded network TV production trucks that are fully turned up and then turned down, almost daily. And then they drive to the next arena. They go from arena to arena. It's almost like a traveling circus, but with very elaborate networks that need to be secure and frictionless. It just has to work, right? And of course, WWE is a very well-known publicly traded company with offices worldwide. They had their own streaming network and enormous, huge social media presence. And all that just needs to be protected. So WWE is where I got my start as a cybersecurity leader. And then in particular, when I really moved from IT, where security was always part of my job, to just dedicated cybersecurity is back when, many years ago, when Sony Pictures had their major attack that crippled their operations. And WWE being a media and entertainment company, whose storylines would often offend or provoke certain things, we were a potential risk. And, if we drew the parallel to Sony Media and what happened with them being in a similar industry and potential to offend a group out there that might take action, that's when all the things that I had been asking for from a cybersecurity perspective, the budget got opened up. And that's where I built the cybersecurity program and team for WWE.
Wow, very interesting. So what exactly motivated you to transition from that leading a security organization at an entertainment company like WWE, and then to join a specialized MDR firm?
Yeah, so I think at WWE, I was helping to secure one company. And CISOs tend to be very mission-driven people. And then so when the opportunity came up to be a CISO and a security leader at a security company like eSentire, by the way, I was very familiar with eSentire because I was a customer and brought them in to help with our security program at WWE. So when I had that opportunity to become the CISO for eSentire, And potentially help thousands of companies with their security programs and posture and protect. That fits in with my mission. So for me, it was seamless. It was natural. Great experience.
So now, in your blog about the first 90 days, you broke down some of the most important tasks that every new security leader should do within their first 30, 60, and 90 days, perhaps after joining a new organization. Can you give us a high-level overview of what those first 30, 60, 90 days should look like?
Sure. So I think your first 30 days, you want to listen, learn, and build relationships. You're going to talk to everyone you can. There's going to be a lot of meet and greet set up. If not, set them up yourself, work with to get them set up. Start with your team and leadership and then work your way down. Ask a lot of questions. You want to understand the business mission, the goals, the risks. This is important information gathering. You got to understand the landscape and you want to ferret out those landmines and start forming the relationships that are going to help you be successful as their partner, as a partner to the business. And so then, moving on, I guess your 30 to 60 day time frame. This is the time for a security program review. You want to understand the reporting and the cadence, identify any immediate threats and gaps, determine the company's security, IQ, and culture. And then moving on to the 60, 90 days where your focus is really on strategy. This is where you're going to start to lay out your initial responsibilities, develop the mission and roadmap. You're going to create your plan that's going to address the gaps that you identified in your assessment phase, and you're going to get your executive and board presentation ready.
So if we start to examine those first 30 days a bit more closely, where you have a new leader starting, they're building this foundation for themselves, can you dig into how that leader should identify and approach potential allies and resistors in the process?
That's a great question. It's an art, and you have to be able to triangulate. So you're meeting with a lot of people, and you want to go into those meetings with open ears, and you want to go in from the perspective of wanting to learn and understand, and you want to come across and genuinely be disarming, because you need to know the truth. You need to understand. You want to have a good working relationship. So truly listen to what they're saying. And, pick out, are they frustrated or concerned? And if so, ask questions to understand the root cause. And if you start hearing the same themes or stories from the different teams and groups and people that you're talking to, you can start to piece together where the resistance may be coming from and identify those who can help impact change.
Okay. And how do you go about initiating conversations about aligning cybersecurity strategies with the broader business mission, especially when meeting stakeholders for the first time?
Yeah, I think you need to offer help. They have goals that they need to achieve. So ask how you can help, educate them on the importance of cybersecurity for the company, and discuss how you can help align to their initiatives. There's been situations even here at eCentire, when I started, where I was able to see that there was a breakdown in communication, for example. This is common in a lot of companies. Without communication and collaboration, the goals are not going to be met. So it doesn't even have to be a security related task. It doesn't have to be a security related problem. If you're looking to build that relationship, you're getting buy-in and showing that cybersecurity is a partner. So I was able to take the two groups and build communication and collaboration between them. And that again is showing that cybersecurity is a partner.
All right. So then as we move to that next phase, 30 to 60, where the leader is now assessing the landscape, I want to dig into that security program review, where a leader is going to evaluate the overall program in the organization. What are the first elements that you evaluate, and how do you determine if the program is reactive or proactive?
Again, very good question. Start with the big rocks. See what programs you have in place. Typical ones, is there a security awareness and training program in place, your identity and access management, incident response, vulnerability management, etc. And then, is the current security program built around an industry standard framework? Does the company currently align with, say, NIST CSF or the CIS controls, or does it have an ad hoc or no framework at all? review any security assessments that may have been done. It's pretty common for companies to do that. Ask for and review the last board reports or executive reports or any program metrics. Any of these, by the way, if they don't exist, that'll kind of give you gauge two of what the security maturity of the company is, especially if they don't have a risk register. But if they do, you're really going to want to look into the risk register. You can try and find those ticking time bombs. And then are there any active or recent breaches? Find out as much as you can. Now, as far as determining if the program is reactive or proactive, which I think is a very interesting point, ask for roadmaps, past or present. If there is a roadmap, is there a budget? If there's no budget or roadmap or plans, then that's kind of a pretty good indicator that the company is reactive rather than proactive.
I guess the other piece is this reporting aspect. That's a tricky part of being a new leader, where you need to figure out which metrics are critical that you have to report on, and also how you communicate them to the executive leaders, as that can impact really how successful you'll be in the role. So from your perspective, which metrics do you believe are most valuable? And how do you assess the organization's security maturity?
Yeah, so which ones do I believe are most valuable? That's kind of a key point, because security reporting and metrics is something the industry, I think, struggles with. Can't seem to come into agreement or really figure it out yet. But overall, the role of a CISO is relatively new as compared to a CFO or other more established roles. So these metrics are kind of still being worked out. One common thing that you see is too many times is operational metrics that are too far in the weeds. Those should be kept operational and not passed upward. So you want to avoid being too technical. So I subscribe to the philosophy of cyber resilience. And what I look to communicate upwards is how resilient are we to a cyber attack or incident? And that breaks down to the three main buckets, which are: how well can we anticipate, withstand, and recover from an attack? So some key metrics that fall into those buckets, for example, anticipate, you're going to be looking at your phishing and security awareness programs, your vulnerability management programs. What's the mean time to patch? For the ability to withstand, you're going to want to report on your metrics of the mean time to detect and the mean time to respond. Those are really good indicators. And as far as recover, if you have an incident, how quickly can you recover? Do you have an incident response team or provider standing by at the ready? How quickly can you recover? Are your backups immutable? What's the RPO and RTO? Make that as minimal as possible so you can have a quick recovery. But when you're communicating this, don't worry too much about showing all those metrics. Roll it up into the buckets. The most important part is to tell the story and then put it together with the context of resilience and what that means to the business. So if you're more resilient, you are less likely to suffer a costly business impacting event and vice versa.
Definitely. And here at eCentaur, you've done a lot at implementing a strong security awareness training program internally. So when it comes to determining the security IQ of an organization, what strategies do you employ to properly gauge the cybersecurity awareness levels across all the employees?
Yeah. The goal is to ensure security is part of the culture. Is there a security awareness training program in place? And what is the participation level of the employees in these training programs? How often is training provided? And most importantly, is it effective? So how do you determine effectiveness? So one example of this is if you have security awareness training, and then you have a phishing simulation program, well, you can monitor the results and how often are they clicking? Is the click rate under 4 or 5%? Is the reporting rate of phishing over 50%? If not, then you've got some work to do on your security awareness training program. I think in general, when you're establishing these programs, you want to look for a program that is engaging and produces results. I would also highly recommend you find a solution that is adaptive to the level of training required for your various employees. Not everybody's at the same level, especially your security company. Your standard security awareness training, they're going to be bored with because it's too basic. So you have to find something that matches to their level. But at the same time, you can't go too complex for somebody that might be in the facilities department and not is familiar with security concepts and training. So I think what you really want to do in addition to that is augment it with other programs. You want to make sure that any town halls have some security topics discussed and some presence. Look to send Slack or email communications with timely tips, advice, information. Those are all good ways to raise the security IQ of your company and get security embedded into the culture.
So that now brings us to the final phase of the first 90 days where that new leader is crafting a cybersecurity strategy. And I think it's important to talk about how a new leader can develop their mission and get their team on their side. So when you joined eCentire, how did you create your mission statement and that roadmap that aligns with the organization's vision?
Well, you mentioned alignment, and alignment is key. You have to align your mission as a security leader with the mission and vision of the company. You need to educate the business. So, for example, as a security company, if eCentire was to suffer a major incident, we would lose the trust of our customers. So my mission as the internal CISO is to protect our house so we maintain our customers' trust to stand guard on their behalf. From there, I build out my roadmap, which should align with the security framework that's chosen for the company and address the most critical gaps identified. It's also important to socialize that plan with all these relationships that you've just made and negotiate with management and the board, whoever controls the budget and resources. So whatever your initiatives are on the roadmap, it's going to require resources and money usually. So negotiate those ahead of time when you're socializing it. Your plan should also illustrate how your program will manage risk and the impact to the business.
And I think another critical piece to highlight in this final phase is getting that buy-in from the board. And from your perspective, what are the key points you should be covering in your first board presentation to win that trust and securing the necessary resources for your plan?
Confidence is key. So you need to make sure that the board feels confident in your ability to lead and communicate effectively. From there, a good approach is to focus on what I call the four Bs. So business, budget, benchmarking, and buy-in. So focus on the business. So they're going to want to know, how secure are we? Well, let's change that first of all and educate them on how resilient are we, how your roadmap will align to the business and what the impact would be. Then moving on to budget, here's where you can indicate if the budget that you've been assigned is sufficient, or use this time to set expectations or make requests for funding, and tie this back to those business impacts that you mentioned earlier. And finally, benchmarking is another key aspect. So usually want to know, well, for our industry, how much should we be spending for our industry? What is the right size security? How do we compare to our peers? And are we at an adequate level? Do we want to be above that? So that is how benchmarking plays in. And finally, buy-in. Is the company supportive or is it resistant? Is support required to prioritize the improvements and changes that you're going to make? These are the four key areas that I think are good to focus on with the board.
Now, I think it's time to switch gears a bit and talk about being a more strategic leader. How has your approach to security leadership evolved? Like, how has that evolved over time, and how does it influence your strategy at eCentire?
Yeah, so my career started off on the technical side. So originally as a systems engineer, network engineer, everything was just seen as tasks and goals and technical. Getting into management, you start to now have to manage people, and you have to help them with their goals. But at first it was very much of a boss type of relationship, and it was almost more of a taskmaster, and it wasn't very effective. I wasn't very comfortable playing that role. I almost felt forced into it. But then as I evolved more into the director level, you start seeing it's not just about goals. Okay. It's really about the people, and you have to be able to build up other people on your team in order to achieve your goals, the company's goals, their goals, everybody's. So over time, I became less technical and more aligned with the business. So when you're working with the business, and it should come from a top down as well, you're aligning. What are the business goals? How can my team participate in achieving them? And how can I help my team achieving them? And one more thing that's really crucial is earlier on in my career, it was more about information being trickled down to me. It was more about leaders and bosses kind of setting the strategy. As I advanced and climbed up the ladder and my natural leadership came out, it was more about me questioning the business. It was more about me providing extra value to the business and participating at that executive level and taking an active role in the strategy. And a lot of this is around communications. So part of my strategy here at eCentire, for example, was the Protect Our House campaign. Again, we had to protect our house to make sure we're safe so that we can protect our customers and our customers are safe. And that's active strategy on my part, on a leader's part. That's going out to the company and communicating proactively, saying, as a security organization, we're here, we're present, it's part of the culture, it's protect our house, it's to be able to motivate and getting the company and the people behind you and the message that will actually achieve success and deliver the results of protecting our house. From a security perspective, again, going back as an engineer or on the more technical side, it was always about, well, you don't want anything to happen. Prevent it, prevent it, prevent it. But over time, I realized that you can't prevent everything from happening. Incidents will take place. Incidents will happen. And then, you know, getting more into, as I was getting into an eCentire, it's really about that resilience strategy, that mindset that I had was, all right, things are going to happen. Well, we really want to limit that blast area and the impact. So how do we anticipate, withstand, and recover?
Do you mind sharing an example where you had to rapidly adapt your security strategy in response to maybe an emerging threat or a shift in the business environment?
Yeah, I think MFA is a very good example of this. So it has a long history. So for a long time, multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication really wasn't a thing. People just relied on passwords, which are very insecure. Then companies had to get comfortable with, and there was resistance with putting in MFA. And then once they got comfortable with that, well, the bad guys were kind of saying, hey, this sucks for us. So let's find a way around that. And they would set up attacker in the middle strategies or man in the middle strategies where they were actually able to also capture the MFA response. And we've seen that a lot now. So you have to then be able to pivot yet again. MFA is not enough. Now you have to have you have to have phish-resistant MFA, and you have to put in additional controls that, okay, it's not just the credentials and the MFA, but it has to be the compliant device that is making the request, or it has to have number matching. So I think that's a way where you just have to constantly adapt.
Okay, great example. When it comes to building a high-performing team, what's your advice for security leaders that are looking to hire, train, and then retain those staff members?
Yeah. I go back to hiring good people with passion. You really want to look for that fire, for that passion, for the love of what they do, for the people that are really, because that's what's going to keep people going and motivated. Skills can be taught. I think training and retention actually go hand in hand. If you're making sure your people are constantly growing and challenged and getting the training, cross-training, whatever it may be, then they're going to keep on growing. And especially in the security industry, we just have a thirst for knowledge and to keep on learning and growing. So you keep that going, I think your retention is going to be a lot better.
I was curious, having worked both in-house as an MDR customer and now being on the provider side, what unique perspective have you gained on the cybersecurity industry as a result of that?
Yeah, so I think on the outside, if you're sitting at whatever company, heading up the security program, things can look a little daunting, right? You're reading all the headlines about the breaches and attacks, and it almost seems futile. No matter what you do, they're going to get in. But so what I've seen from also being on this side is there is hope. There are a lot of talented, passionate people fighting the good fight. And yeah, the headlines, the media will make the sensational headlines, and there are risks, and it is scary out there. But it's not hopeless. If you're building a good resilient strategy, you have a lot of good people fighting the good fight.
Excellent. So I got two more questions for you. The first being, Based on your extensive experience, where do you see the field of cybersecurity heading in the next 5 years, particularly in the context of MDR?
Compliance and regulations are going to, you're already seeing it now, and I think it's just going to get tougher. And there's going to be a lot more teeth to it. And I think MDR will continue to be a critical part of any security program. That need for 24/7 detection isn't going away anytime soon. And I think you're also going to see identity-based detections are going to become commonplace, and wouldn't be a podcast without talking about AI. So I think AI will be definitely integrated heavily into all aspects of the security landscape. However, the industry is always going to need that human element. So you're always going to need people. It's not going to be robots versus robots. So in particular for MDR, you're still going to need analysts. You're still going to need people assessing. So I think the future is scary and exciting at the same time.
You definitely, very interesting to see where this all goes. So final question for you is, what advice would you give to individuals that are aspiring to reach executive level positions in cybersecurity? Yep.
So I mentioned compliance and regulation is going to get tougher. So these are some non-technical areas that I would advise any aspiring leaders to stay on top of. Aside from that, focus on soft skills such as communication, relationship building, and influence, because these are going to be must-haves for any aspiring CISO.
Great advice. Yeah, definitely an exciting place to be for those looking to expand their career.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think that's just about does it for our chat today. Greg, thank you so much for taking your time to share your perspective with us and providing this valuable advice for new security leaders out there. It was a pleasure.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Well, bye for now.
Take care.
To learn how eCentaur can help your team reduce your cyber risks and build a more resilient security operation, visit eCentaur.com.